good morning. I see Jeff on a text saying, you'd wonder what torture is if the hooded men weren't tortured. That's one of the topics we're talking about this morning. I want to speak to Jim Old, who's one of the hooded men. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, the European Court of Human Rights, a decision to reject a request, indeed, to rebrand as torture the maltreatment of 14 detainees by the British at the start of Northern Ireland's troubles during the internment era. A big setback for the surviving hooded men yesterday.
Yes, I think everybody was dismayed with the result. However, I think that as far as we're concerned, after our discussions about it, is that everybody is intent on pushing forward. We are in contact with the Irish government, and hopefully we're going to be meeting them over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to be asking them to appeal that decision.
Now, it's been described as Britain being guilty of inhuman and degrading treatment, but not torture. What were you put through, Jim? What are your memories of those experiences at Ballykelly?
Well, I suppose to cut to the chase, the techniques that were used was I was stripped and put into a boiler suit. With a hood on my head, I was put against a wall, and I was left there for 7 days and 7 nights. I wasn't allowed to move. As soon as I moved, I was beaten up, and I was beaten up, and I was beaten unconscious continually.
So when you say 7 days and 7 nights, but are you talking about through the day, through the night, the standing, you'd fall down,
yes.
They'd stand you up again? You weren't
yes.
given a bed to lie on for a few hours. There was nothing like that.
No, nothing at all. We were put against the wall and we were left there. We very quickly realized that there were people behind us. And as soon as you moved a finger, you can only stand. And I recommend people try it. If you stand in a stressed position for more than a few moments, the circulation in your body slows up and you get pins and needles. And when that happens, you have to move whatever part of your body it is. When your hands are in the air, it's usually your hands. So your hands go numb and you have to move them. As soon as you moved your hands, you were beaten. And I'm not talking a slight slap. I'm talking beaten by two men with batons. And they beat you until you were unconscious. And then they dragged you up, they put you against the wall, and they made it very plain without any words that you weren't allowed to move, and you weren't allowed to move a muscle. And that went on, you tried to stay against the wall for a longer period of time, and your body collapsed. And it was after hours of that happening, it became a relief to get beaten, because that had the circulation moving in your body, and you got a bit of relief from that. And it got to the stage very quickly that I know that I said to myself, this can't go on. I can't allow this to go on. And certainly the government couldn't allow me out of here without me telling other people what they had done. And that they couldn't survive that. In my mind, the British government couldn't have survived the kickback from people knowing what they had done. So I tried to kill myself. There was a pipe running along the bottom of the ground. I assumed it was a central heating pipe, one of the old ones, and I'd fallen on it a lot of times. And I tried to throw myself down on it to hit my head to try and break my neck. And when I was on the ground and didn't die, I cried because I didn't die when that happened. And as soon as I went down, as soon as I started crying, I got beaten again.
It's unbelievable to think that human beings could put other humans through that. And the word torture rolls off the tongue, I was just about to say, through that sort of torture. What about breaks? Were you fed? Were you allowed to have to go to the toilet? How did that work?
No, that it didn't. That's the whole point of it. I soiled the boiler suit, I urinated in the boiler suit, and I don't even remember doing it. It just happened because there was no way out. You couldn't. The noise going through your head interrupted all your thought processes. You could not think straight at all. It just overwhelmed all your senses.
What do you think they were trying to achieve by doing that to you and to the other men? And they did more as well. They took the helicopters off the ground and gave the impression of being hundreds of metres up in the air and then threw some of you out of the helicopters, but they were only a couple of feet off there. Did they do that to you?
Yeah, they did okay. But that was at the beginning. That was going to where we now know to be a specially built building in Ballykelly Army Camp. From that, where we came from, was Girdwood Army Barracks in North Belfast. And the helicopter was up in the ground, and they moved me to the side of the door. I knew that because of the different sound and wind made from the helicopter. And they kneeled me to the front of the door, and then they kicked me out.
And you...
I only got half a squeal out of me before I hit the ground, because I thought that I was hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air.
Yes, because you're hooded, of course, and this is the important thing.
The hood was on. Yeah, and as soon as I hit the ground, I was lifted and dragged by arms on either side of me, and they run me down a grass bank, I had no shoes on, and they ran me into what I assumed was a concrete lamppost. And they were between me. I had the hood on, and I was running full pelt, and they just run me into a concrete post, and I collapsed. Blood was running down the inside of the hood from my head and my face.
This was at a time, Jim, when a considerable number of people were being lifted and huge numbers of innocent people were being lifted. Why do you think they were doing that? What were they trying to achieve?
Well, that was obviously at the start of internment, and which we were caught up in. But the interesting thing about us is not one of us has ever been found guilty of a terrorist or a political related crime. Not one. Every one of us have an unblemished record. And that's then and since then.
Yes, and do you deny any involvement in any of the terrorist organisations?
I have never been found guilty, as every other person there has ever been found guilty, of any criminal or political offence.
But were you a member of the IRA?
Absolutely not.
And
I was a 20-year-old who had just come back from a party.
And do you feel you'll ever get the justice that you're looking for? Because to have it described as torture is very important to you, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Look, you see, what happened to us has happened. We can't unhappen that. This isn't about us in those terms. There is no self-gain in this process for us. We don't get anything from this. This is about trying to prevent other people from being tortured. Because the ruling of the Human Rights Court in 1978 still stands today. And that has allowed America, Israel, Britain, and a lot of other countries to use those techniques of torture on their citizens and other people's citizens. And it to be legitimized because it is not deemed as torture.
Jim, I really...
And some reason they get away with that.
Yeah, I appreciate you speaking to me. I also want to speak to Gráinne Taggart before the news from Amnesty International. You raised some very relevant points. Thanks for your time this morning and also for that horrific, I suppose, description of what you've been through. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot.
That's Jim Old, one of the original hooded men. It's an incredible experience for any human being to go through. Gráinne Taggart is with Amnesty International. Gráinne Taggart, the bottom line is, the European Court of Human Rights doesn't believe it's torture.
No, look, that's not correct. And I think, you know, the ruling is obviously disappointed, but we need to be very clear on what it does and doesn't say. It's not saying that the five techniques that were used are not torture. And actually, we're quite confident that what was done to these men would be deemed as torture by the court in today's terms if this case was heard afresh. This was a revision request that was sent by the Irish government and not a new hearing. So the court really used a very narrow technical legal point to basically not have to deal with the more substantive issues, including obviously the long-term effects of the techniques, etc., and revisiting then therefore the 1978 judgment. So we think that the court missed a vital opportunity yesterday to put right a historic wrong. It relied largely on procedural arguments to avoid substantively revisiting its 1978 ruling. But as Amnesty, we're very clear, when we visited the detainees in 1971, and you have heard the descriptions that Jim has provided, we found clear evidence of torture. Our findings have not changed in the years that have passed. Indeed, both the UK Supreme Court and the Belfast High Court have both found that this was torture. And what was revealed in the files that were withheld by the UK government can't be denied. These men were tortured, and they were tortured with approval at the highest levels of government.
But you didn't get that yesterday. You got that Britain was guilty of inhuman and degrading treatment, and they wanted a finding of torture, but by 6-1 it wasn't found to be torture.
Yeah, well, they upheld, you're right, when you refer to the inhuman and degrading treatment, which was what was in the 1978 ruling. That was what was upheld there yesterday. But the reason that was upheld is because they used a very technical legal point to not substantively revisit the issues. That's disappointing. But as Jim, I'm sure, has said, you know, this is not the end of this process. The hooded men will meet with the Irish government, who will now, I'm sure, have had time to consider the ruling there yesterday and then decide on what next steps they will take. There can be an appeal to the Grand Chamber, and I know that the men yesterday had appealed directly to the Irish government to go down that route.
Okay. Gráinne Taggart.